Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Mills coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, like I usually do. And I am here with my usual co-host, Carlos, who is in a different location than usual. Yes, sir. So I guess that's the only abnormal thing going on tonight. Is that correct, Carlos?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only bit of news happening in the world of the Rowdies.
There's nothing else that we need to cover outside of the games. There's nothing else really going on that's even that interesting.
No, there might have been. I might have seen like a blip come across my desk earlier. Some great on the ground reporting by none other than Eureka himself on the RBLR Sports account. We can talk about that in a second. But good stuff, James. Yeah, I mean, I'm currently coming to you live from the Catholic University of America Law School Library. It is not a soundproof room, as I said before we started recording, so I'm doing my best to keep the microphone close to my face without being too loud and disturbing the few other folks that are in this little space I'm in. But it's a closed room, so I think we're all right. But yeah, James, we're doing all right. There's some fun news to talk about, which I think is really, really fascinating to your point. It's pretty big news. We're doing a bit. It might have not been that funny if you're listening to this, but it was a bit. It's big news. I mean, it's pretty fascinating stuff at the striker position, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it in just a minute. Maybe even before we talk about the games, because I think it's really fascinating. But James, before we do any of that, before we talk about this Brooklyn game, before we talk about the game coming up this weekend away in Hartford, which I really wanted to get to, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. How are you doing? What's going on down there?
I'm doing all right. I am trying to keep up with this Rowdies news because, I did not know this until the recent reports came out. So there is some interesting stuff to go over. We were, as Carlos said, we were just pulling your leg. There is interesting news. I will leave it at this unless you just want to get into it. But I think that, you know, the Rowdies are going for it every year, quote, going for it every year. I think that we have hit this point of the season and we're doing very well, but the Rowdies are like going for it. Yeah. They have really stated their intent with this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And honestly, and this is out of order from how we typically do things, but I do think we should just talk about it now because it's
in our extra time segment, so we'll hop to extra time first.
Yeah, let's do extra time first and then talk about Brooklyn. Let me wrap up the intro because we'll talk about Brooklyn in a second. We beat them at home 2-0. Really good game, maybe a little quieter than we would have liked in the attack, kind of in that middle portion of the game, but a good, solid, comfortable win on to Hartford. Thanks for joining us live if you're here with us on YouTube. If you're listening to this back recorded, give us a like, follow, whatever the hell you can do, wherever you're getting this podcast, do it. And follow us at RBLR Sports on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Threads. If you followed us on Twitter today and Blue Sky, that's the other one, you would have gotten this breaking news before we talked about it today. So another plug as to why you should follow the RBLR Sports accounts on social media. Okay, James, here's the fascinating bit. Let's jump to this before we talk about Brooklyn, because it's super relevant and kind of pinnacle of, like you said, Rowdies going for it. Word is that the Tampa Bay Rowdies have picked up none other than Jurgen Lokadia from the Miami FC. And this is fascinating for a number of reasons. And I think we could just start by saying, what the hell, Miami? I think that's a good place to begin that conversation. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. It's the only thing they had going for them really so far. I mean, they're not doing awfully. This is definitely their best player. The situation over there is weird as always. And it makes no sense to me if I'm following Miami as to why I would send your best player to a regional rival. However, 8 goals in 15 games is exciting stuff if you're a Tampa Bay Rowdies fan. And not only that, you're not even talking about, like, that's just production this season, which has been, you know, in limited playing time. He's averaging basically a goal every other game. You're talking about a guy who has incredible experience, obviously just played at the World Cup, won a number of titles in the Eredivisie, and is that how you say that, in the Netherlands. And then just hopped over to Europe a bunch, played some time at FC Cincinnati. I know my girlfriend was laughing at the news this morning when I sent it over to her. That FC fan. It's super random.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get the randomness out of my head about how strange this move is. But it's exciting stuff if you're a Rowdies fan like we are. I mean, this is, like you said, James, the definition of going for it, right? We're coming off three games where maybe would have liked to see more offensive production. And I know two goals against Brooklyn is comfortable. It's a good win. And we'll talk about that game in a second, like we said. But I think a lot of that game was pretty quiet offensively for us, maybe more so than we would have liked. Two games before that, Detroit, Pittsburgh, shutouts, right? Shutout against Louisville in the cup game before that. So it's just maybe a way to kind of tell your strikers and your attacking players that, you know, despite how well we're doing in the table, their starting role is not safe because here comes Jurgen Lacadia. You know what I mean? I think this has huge implications for the team and for the locker room. And I think it'll just kind of elevate everybody's mentality and intensity on the pitch, if nothing else. Even if Lacadia doesn't get a single minute the rest of the year, bringing in a player of that caliber and playing history is going to elevate guys like MD Myers and Carson Hunderlong and make the competition for the striker spot even more intense up top. Fascinating stuff here. But to the point of actual Jurgen Lacadia talent, I mean, the guy's got the resume for sure. He's played great soccer when he's been on the field, scored against us earlier this year, averaging a goal every other game. Like I said, decent production from a really, really impressive player. James, that's the 30,000 foot view of it. And I think, like I said, the part that interests me even more is kind of like adding him to the already really impressive rotation of MD Myers and Carson Hunderlong. But what's your initial reaction to this? Like, what do you make of this move? What's the benefit if you're the Tampa Bay Rowdies, if you're Nico in the front office and you're thinking, first of all, do I need to make any moves? Because we're in first place pretty comfortably in the East. Narrowish gap with New Mexico in the West, right? First of all, I mean, do you need to add anybody? Is kind of the question. Second of all, Jurgen Lacadia? That's insane. Like, what reactions to that? I'm curious. What are you thinking? What's going through your head?
I mean, well, so if we go back, if we take one step back and we think about the other transfers that we've added, two lone players from MLS, Connor Antley, obviously well known at the club, can play in a couple different positions. And then Ethan Bartlow came in at the same time. And those were filling an immediate spot of need, right? Like a center back and a center back/right back/right wing back, depending on how we want to play. Both of those made sense at the time because of the players that we didn't have available to us. And I get that. So that makes perfect sense. And we come back to now, and I don't know that there was necessarily so much of a need in front of us. Like what I would say with the Rowdies, I think that obviously they're playing very well. But if you just want to go through the last couple of scores here, 2-0 against Brooklyn, that's good. Brooklyn are not good this season. They're second to last in the overall league, not just the Eastern Conference, but the overall league. The only team beneath them is Sporting Jackson. We know how bad that team is as well. So 2-0 over Brooklyn, good. 0-0 against Pittsburgh. That was an away game. Keep in mind.
Tough place to play.
1-0 loss against Detroit. That's not great, I will say, but it's also away, a tough place to go, and a tough place to physically play. So fair enough. Rhode Island 2-0, and then 0-0 against Lou City. So I think the one before that was the match that we had right after the 5-4 win over Lou City. Yeah, it was a 3-0 win over Orange County, and that one was honestly shockingly good, I will say. But the 5-4 win against Louisville City was also kind of fluky. So
sorry for mentioning that game while Andy joins us live in the chat right now, Orange County legend. But go ahead, James.
There was a 0-0 against Lou City, 2-0 against Rhode Island, 1-0 loss against Detroit City, 0-0 against Pittsburgh, and 2-0 against Brooklyn. I mean, again, I don't necessarily think that what that means is we need to go out and get a striker. I think that we're doing, obviously, in my opinion, much better on the defensive side, because there was only one goal scored against us in that five-game period that I just went through. Actually, if you extend it that once more to Orange County, then it's one goal in six games. That, yeah, by the way, is incredible. Let's just point out how ridiculous those stats are for a second. 100%. But defensively, 100%. Yeah, we're doing really well. So on the other side of things, why do we need somebody like Jurgen Locadia? You mentioned this, Carlos. Everybody needs to be looking over their shoulder. That's kind of what it comes down to. In the attack, if you are not performing, whatever that is, even in training, you need to be looking over your shoulder. And I mean, it's tough, because that's kind of, you know, we've had guys that I think we've all gotten really comfortable with seeing out on the field, yeah, and they've been doing well for us. Yeah. Players that I think have earned a lot of goodwill with the Rowdies fan base already. Even if they've only been here a year, which almost the entire squad has, but that's how you get to be the Manchester City, the PSG. Not that we're on that level, obviously.
And we're close. Yeah.
But Jurgen Locadia has played in MLS. He has played, if I'm not mistaken, he has played in clubs that were competing in the Champions League. I don't know if he specifically took part in Champions League games, but he was with PSV, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, PSV is a perennial Champions League contender. We see them there every year, and they honestly used to be better before this more recent shakeup of things, but you know, that's how that goes. So that's how you make things tougher, or that's how you make things better, is you that's what soccer is. If you're not, you know, if you're complacent, you're falling behind, so to speak. And we didn't even wait for the offseason for that, I guess. So
yeah.
MD Myers, Carson Henderlong, they're doing very well. I don't think that either of them has had a poor season by any stretch. But nope. Maybe, like you said, if Jurgen Locadia, that is, doesn't see a single minute of game time for the Rowdies, then still I think that he will elevate this team.
100%. Yeah, I think that was my takeaway, because I'm like, I don't know. I'm fascinated by, like, the question is, where does he fit into the lineup, right? 100%.
Right.
That's the main question. You have MD Myers on your team, who is probably the best striker in the league, talent-wise, right? And he has that crazy season at Charleston that really puts him on the map. I don't know if Jurgen Locadia is better, right, quote unquote, than MD Myers, for whatever that means, right? And that can mean a number of things. But that's the biggest thing, right? Is he's gonna come in, you're adding a World Cup striker to your locker room, which is always a great thing, regardless of if they're the 42nd best team or the first best team. You know, it's always gonna help you. It's incredible experience in Europe. He's familiar with soccer in this country at this point, so it's not like there's going to be a learning curve or anything like there sometimes is with folks coming from overseas. I think it's a great addition, honestly. There's not much else you can say about it. It's exciting. He could get minutes, certainly. I think if I'm Carson Henderlong, I'm a little peeved off, you know what I mean? Like, is that a word? Peeved off? Is that
something I think it, people say? I think we all get you anyway.
Yeah, like, because he's been, you know, struggling to get on the field as much as he would like, and he's had good minutes when he has come on, in cup games especially. But man, you're adding like a striker with incredible pedigree at this point, and it's going to be really hard to find, I think, the right balance of minutes for three really good strikers competing for one spot, right? Basically is what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Unless you want to throw, you know, run the like Henderlong played on the wing for a little bit a couple of weeks ago. And we've seen Myers and Henderlong be on the field together at the same time, which is exciting. So there's ways to do it, and we'll see how it plays out. And I think Dominic Casciato has a really tough job ahead of him figuring this out, but it's a problem that every coach in this league would want. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a really, really, as far as like problems that you could have, this is one of the best ones to have, is this depth of talent. And that'll be the talking point around this for the rest of the year. Now the Rowdies, who I would say are probably favorites to win the league, you're adding a player of this caliber to an already favorite team to win up there with, I don't know, maybe New Mexico, Charleston. I think Rowdies are probably still consensus number one favorite to win. You're adding a lot of pressure, you know what I mean? So the conversations around the Rowdies being the favorites, I think, only go up from here. Mm-hmm. And only become louder. So it's good, you know, iron sharpens iron. Like I said, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Great talent. He's still got a lot of really good soccer in him. And you've seen that if you've watched any Miami games for whatever reason, like if you've chosen to tune in and make your way down to, I don't know, I guess the Rowdies game down there, when Marco had that crazy midfield goal, you would have seen Lacadia scoring on this. Because the guy's got talent. Production's still there. Excited to see what he can do. There's only 7 games left in the regular season, which is, again, I think makes this an even more fascinating time to add this kind of piece to your locker room. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. I'm really, really interested to see what this looks like.
I don't know.
We'll see. Word is that we can expect an announcement in the next day or two. So what does that mean for, you know?
Yes, we should point out this is still rumors, but it's rumors from people like Joe Lowry is the person who is, I think, most immediately reporting on this. And if you know the name Joe Lowry, he's a pretty good source and also very good at his soccer commentary.
Yeah, this is it. You should expect it to happen in the next day or two. Like, there's probably no reason for it not to happen at this point. Which, you know, I guess that the question then is, what does that mean for like official timeline? Is he available by the game on Saturday against Hartford? Who knows? But yeah, James, 7 games left. What a piece to add. This is going to be really interesting. It's going to be really interesting up top. So we'll have to wait and see till Saturday. But you'll have to wait to see him in person Saturday, September 19th against Birmingham Legion. Buy your tickets for that. Mm-hmm. This upcoming one, Saturday, away to Hartford. We'll see what that looks like. I really hope he's available because I would love to see a Jurgen Lacadia goal against Hartford just randomly on a Saturday, September 12th. Like, it sounds so insane. Like, if you would have told me this at the beginning of the season, it makes no sense to me.
Right, yeah.
So let's run it. Screw it. Let's see what we can do. Hopefully he gets some minutes. Hopefully he's you know, lives up to the resume that he has. And if not, like we said, James, I think just his presence is going to make MD and Carson better. And, you know, up the intensity in the locker room, where when you're comfortably in first place, like, it might be easy to get comfortable, right? It's easy to kind of get complacent with where you're at, just kind of ride into the playoffs. And that's, of course, where we see so many top teams get eliminated first, second round or whatever. So I think this is good. This is good. Great mentality signing, if nothing else. Literally, if nothing else. Ignoring all the talent, I think it'll be great. It'll be great. Okay, that's all I have on him. We could talk. I mean, we could really talk about his resume for a long time, but I think we hit the important parts here about what this means for the Rowdies right now, right? Yeah. In September of 2026, with 7 games left in the regular season, what does a Lacadia addition actually mean for the team that is comfortably in first place? Summary: I think it'll make us better, if nothing else. So. I don't think it'll make us worse, right? Like, that would be interesting. But and apparently he's someone who likes EDM. So if anybody wants to take him to any EDM spot, I know JD.
RBL. I was about to say RBL, our son, correspondent JD. Hit him up.
Yeah, hit him up. We'll after we win the title, we'll take him on an RBLR trip to the hottest EDM spot in Tampa Bay. I don't know anything about EDM, so I'm waffling. But
we'll I'm just going to go ahead and assume it's in Ybor.
Yeah, it's a good shout. Okay, that's Lacadia out of the way. He is not even officially a Rowdies player yet, and we've taken 15-ish or so minutes to talk about him, but I think super merited. I think it's a fascinating addition at this point in the season. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rowdies presently, the ones that are on the field currently, the ones that are rostered. And let's start with this game this past weekend against Brooklyn, then we'll jump into the Hartford preview. James, you've been taking us through the quick recaps. I know you weren't there either. Actually, neither of us were there. So both of us were virtual watchers this time around. Eureka was our RBLR correspondent down there. And I think Connor and Parker were down there as well. But James, you want to take us through what happened in a quick recap of this 2-0 win versus Brooklyn FC in their first visit to Al Lang Stadium, by the way?
It's true. Yeah, so let's do that. In our quick recap, we start with the starting 11. Jamali Waite was in net behind Dion Acuff, Ethan Bartlow, Nathan Dos Santos, and Charlie Ostrom. Lewis Hilton and Max Schneider were the two in the midfield, the two deeper ones in the midfield, I should say, behind Louis Perez, Russell Cicerone, and Marco Micheletto, MD Myers up top. Goals in each half, including one in Tampa time in the second half. I think it was the 90th plus, what was it? The 90th plus six? 90th plus... Oh, 90th plus two. It wasn't quite as late, but still Tampa time. If you are in stoppage late time, you are in Tampa time. That was all that we actually needed. It kept us ahead and it earned us 3 points. Not only did it earn us 3 points, but in fact, those 3 points made us the first team to clinch a playoff spot across USL in 2026. So I love that. That's good to hear. We're looking good. Let's keep it up. Let's go through the standings now overall. So in the Eastern Conference, the Rowdies are on 48, the Battery on 39, Detroit City on 37, Pittsburgh 35, Lou City 33, Hartford 31. There are a couple of places, and I just wanted to let everybody know based on what we were talking about, Miami right now is not in the playoff places. They are on 23 points. And 29 points is where they need to be. That's where Rhode Island is. So just keep that in mind if you want to think about the Jurgen Lokadiev at all. But that's where we are in the Eastern Conference. And the Western Conference, which is less real in my head, El Paso is on 40 points. New Mexico is also on 40 points. Orange County is on 36 points. Tulsa is on 36 points. San Antonio is on 36 points. Colorado Springs is on 34. Sacramento is on 33. So it's actually pretty bunched up over in the Western Conference. They are not quite hitting the heights that we are at the moment, which is positive for us. It means that presuming that we stay on this path, we have already made the playoffs, but presuming that we stay on this path, we have a good chance of playing all home games, no matter whom we come across. And obviously that would be beneficial for us because playing in our background, I think, is the best option.
Yeah, obviously. 100%.
And it helps us with our attendance too, because playoff games get more people out. It's just it's the way that it goes. In our own standings, lastly, let's hit on that. Eureka is on 29 points. Carlos, 27. Connor got all 3 points with his prediction, and he jumped to 25 points. I am on 22, and Parker's on 20. So that is also bunched up. We are doing well with the prediction rankings right now. Eureka is still on top and heading towards whatever reward we have there, while Parker right now is still trying to relegation avoid whatever punishment. I guess we still need to figure those out. If anybody has any suggestions, go ahead.
If Parker finishes in last place, he's relegated to covering FC Naples. That's what happens.
I know that he would hate to hear that, but
we'll have to move down to Naples and cover FC Naples for RBLR Naples.
Oh God, don't make him move. That would be terrible. Naples is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, James, you talked about this game well. You mentioned all the standings. Thanks for doing that. Fascinating stuff happening out west in Andy's neck of the woods, with Orange County being right behind New Mexico and El Paso. It's so fascinating to me that there's a couple teams that are like on 21 games. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. I know there's been some scheduling mix-ups and some games can't cancel like throughout the season. But New Mexico's in a really interesting place here where they're on 40 points and 21 games played, right? So once they catch up to the 23 games everybody else has played, for the most part, they could be at 46 points at most, 2 points behind Tampa Bay Rowdies, 6 points clear of El Paso. They're in a tough spot, and they've been kind of the focus of Rowdies fans' extra USL soccer watching over the last couple of weeks, knowing that they have these games in hand. I've watched a few of their games now late at night on a Saturday. They're tough to beat. They love coming back. They love conceding, equalizing, coming back, especially at home. They're a tough team to beat for sure. But blessing and a curse for them, right? Blessing, they have points to make up here. They can, clear the other teams out west by two wins by 6 points, right? They could catch up to the Rowdies and be within 2 points of the overall table. But they also have to play both of those games, right? Like, it's not a given either, even though they're really, really good. One of those makeup games is against Birmingham Legion, September 16th, so just over a week from now. And that comes after a Friday game, this Friday against Indy 11. After the game against Indy, they're going to have to go down to Birmingham Legion, away over there against a team that's not good by any means, right? Birmingham's struggling for sure. But that's a long trip to play a soccer game, and mm-hmm. they're going to have to come all the way back after that Wednesday game. The next Saturday, they go away to Colorado Springs, another tough away game, more travel, altitude, tough place to play. Then they have a Saturday game the next week, and then they have another Wednesday game against FC Tulsa, away to Tulsa, another tough place to play. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind that while New Mexico has these games in hand, they're certainly not a given, right? Not because of the opponents, because I think they're better than every team I just mentioned that they're playing against, but it's a lot of soccer and a good amount of travel in there, especially when you're talking about traveling for them east all the way to Birmingham, coming back, playing a game that Saturday, playing another game the next Saturday, then traveling away to FC Tulsa. Like, there's going to be some tough games for them in there. Hopefully that works out in our benefit. Hopefully they drop some of them, take some of the pressure off. But otherwise, we're going to have to keep stacking results like we did this Saturday. Now, my dad was the only member of the Urueta household to make it out there. Unfortunately, he went solo to this one. He loves a good solo soccer game date. Like, he took himself on a solo date in St. Pete, went to his favorite restaurant in St. Pete before
the game. There you
go. And I called him after. And like you see in the comments, if you're joining us live, he was pretty bored. It wasn't a fun game. And honestly, like, I usually give him crap for his takes because they're usually awful. But it was a boring game. Like, it wasn't a super fun watch if you were a Tampa Bay Rowdies fan and you want to see some crazy soccer. That's true. I actually did learn that the other day, Andy. Thank you for the fact there. Albuquerque and Colorado Springs are roughly the same altitude. I had no clue Albuquerque was at altitude until we played them earlier this season. We talked about that on the podcast. It was shocking. Wow. Fun fact. But the game was kind of boring. It's okay. I think, you know, I'm not going to complain about a win. You and I last week would have loved, we said we would have loved to see a huge blowout win by like 5 or 6 goals, maybe 3 goals. You know, we would have been called it a success. But it was just a little slow in the attack, right? It was a little slow, and that was kind of the main thing. I don't think Brooklyn was ever super threatening.
Right. I would like to point that out for our defensive side of things again. But yeah, go ahead.
100%. Like, once we scored that first goal from Luis Perez, which came after a couple decent chances. By the way, the Luis Perez goal is beautiful. Great ball control from MD Myers off of a long ball. Brings it down, kind of scuffles with two Brooklyn center backs, really just dogs his way into controlling the ball. Lays it off for Charlie Ostrom. Ostrom lays it off for Perez towards the top of the box, and he rips a laser shot. Crowd goes wild. Not a great crowd, again, by the way. I will shout that out as well. Like, I don't know. The attendance is, like, just kind of a little lower than I would like this year for some reason, despite how well we're playing.
I think that's fair.
But separate. That's a separate point. We can talk about that and have a whole segment on that. Crowd goes crazy. Still a good atmosphere. Boys are buzzing. 1-0 Rowdies. At no point after that was I, like, scared of Brooklyn. And maybe it's because, like, they just have had the season that they've had, but they really didn't have any crazy chances, or really any chances. Waite had to make a couple saves that were pretty elementary for him. They had a free kick. I'm looking at the highlights. That was actually pretty decent. That might have made Rowdies fans stop from taking a sip of their $2 McUltras. I don't know if they still do that, but, you know, whatever you were drinking, and get scared for a half second. But I think the main thing for us was that we just were a little quiet in the attack, right? And Conway had a good look. Was that Conway? I know he had the second goal, but I'm looking back at the highlights. Hold on. Who's that? Is that Hilton? 74th minute. Yeah. There's another great shot. So we had maybe 2, maybe 3, like, good opportunities. I wouldn't say, like, the Luis Perez shot was this high XG opportunity that you score 9 times out of 10. There's probably 2, like, really good looks. one of them was the Conway goal. Wide open, great service from Pedro Dolabella. I loved that. I think Pedro's had a season that is a little slower than he's used to. Maybe it's just a mix of like lack of consistent playing time and kind of being moved around different positions. But he put in a great service for Conway, and Conway wide open gets a goal that he's been looking for a while too. So good for both of them to get connected there, because I think those are two guys you want to see catch fire, especially at this point in the year.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Kind of, you know, bolster the attack that's been just a little slow. Now why it was a slow game in the attack for us, I don't really know. I'm not like super impressed by Brooklyn's defense or anything. I don't think they did anything like crazy well here. They're pretty organized. I mean, I don't have anything awful to say about them. They didn't play bad. But we knew going to this game that it's a team that struggles defensively, and they're towards the bottom of the table for a reason. It's not Sporting Jack's bad, right? The friggin' like 60 million goals conceded at this point in the year. But they weren't great. So I think we would have liked to see one, maybe two more goals. But a win's a win. I'm not going to complain, especially when we hadn't scored any goals in three games in a row, right? Just getting something in the back of the net is nice at this point to get the juices going again. Would have liked it to be MD Myers, right, your striker. But again, maybe this is why you bring in Lacadia, right? Make the boys work a little extra hard this week, maybe knowing so. That there's some competition, right? So I think that's kind of the main takeaway for me is, right, win 3 points, which is huge, because like I said, every game is big right now as long as New Mexico is getting results, right? Every time New Mexico gets a win, I want us to win. You know what I mean? And since most of their games are going to happen after us, like, yeah, let's just assume, yeah, right. Out West, let's just assume that they're going to win and win every game, right? So every game's still big. Go get it. I'm not too worried about the rest of the East Coast, Eastern Conference at this point, to be honest. Still good teams, right? But I don't think anybody's going to catch up to us in the Eastern Conference. Fingers crossed. They could, any one of the teams in the Eastern Conference could certainly beat us in a playoff game. Absolutely. But I think we have a nice sizable lead in the conference to finish in first in the East. Let's hope I didn't jinx anything. Let's hope we go out there and close out every game strong, because New Mexico is hot on our tail in the West. James, what are your main takeaways from this game? Because I don't really know what else to make of it other than it was just kind of, it was fine, right? What do you think?
I will highlight again, I do think that defensively we played well. You noted that I don't think that Brooklyn had any really big chances. We can look at that very quickly here, but no big chances according to FotMob. To be fair, actually, yeah. It says that we didn't have any big chances either. So
right, yeah.
We just had, you know,
our look goal, at my favorite stat right over that, James. Look at that number. That's a pretty good number for us. I will say, I'm looking at, I think it's the same layout for both of us.
Yes. 24 touches in the opposition box for anybody who's not on the FotMob app as we're going. For the Rowdies.
Yeah.
For Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
100%. Three touches in the box, in our box for Brooklyn. You win those games 99 times out of 100 if you can limit your opponent's presence in your attack, in your box. Like, they can't do anything, right? They're just ripping shots from distance and maybe taking that free kick that Jamali Wade is going to save most of the time, right? So to your point, I'll give it back to you. Like you said, defense did their job. You know, midfield jammed up any sort of Brooklyn attack. My boy Stefan had a quiet night. So did Obregon. What am I talking? Jeez, James, I've been in DC too long. I'm being whitewashed. Obregon, right? Had a quiet game, and he's a really, really, really good player. Wasn't he Golden Boot last year in League One? I think that's what the commentator said.
I think you're right. I think he was with like Westchester, I believe.
Yeah. Guy's really, really impressive. Didn't mention his name once all game, right? Like nothing going for them. So defense, midfield did their job. The Schneider Hilton combo in the back of like two really good defensive midfielders, I think, interrupted any sort of buildup that Brooklyn ever had going. Yeah. Anyway, that's to your point, James, that the defense played well. So I'll give it back to you before I keep waffling.
Well, so we have seen the Rowdies make quite a few changes with the attacking lineup over the course of the summer, especially. Marco Micheletto has been in and out of that, and I think that he's been getting more starts recently. Russell Cicerone out wide, Luis Perez out wide. Of course, it should be noted that those are not like the widest of wide positions. They're not wingers that are supposed to get to the touchline and then cut the ball back. They're supposed to be very close to where MD Myers is and, you know, working with him pretty much up at the edge, if not inside the opposition box. We've seen 100%. That a lot. And then Charlie Ostrom will get high. The Rowdies don't do anywhere near as much crossing, I think, as they have done in recent years, especially when we played with wingbacks as opposed to the fullbacks that we have seen a lot more frequently over the course of this season. But Dion Akoff and Charlie Ostrom are obviously both capable of that. They're just not doing it as frequently. And so they will be tasked with the ones mostly getting like up wide. And then Luis Perez, who is a winger in as much as he's also a very competent attacking midfielder. So he will move into the center of the field. And that's, you know, to our benefit in multiple instances in this game, let's say. But if we're not like getting, I guess, the production that the coaching staff wants to see, and I don't know if this is your dad said this, we played down to Brooklyn's level. That's something that I think that Rowdies fans might say for other games in the past. Certainly we have seen teams in this position where they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Just because you expect to win the game, right? Yeah, we just mentioned, 10, 15 minutes ago, how poor Brooklyn have been all season. And maybe you're just like, well, it's going to come eventually. I don't know that I want to put my name on the claim that they are being complacent in this one, but I'll leave that to you. I'll leave that to your dad. But there are lots of people who would probably agree with him, right? There are instances that we have seen where we have played a team that's down at the bottom and you just expect to get a win. And then in the end, you're kind of like scraping by. And so,
I think it didn't help the excitement levels, or at least like the Rowdies attack that we scored. And this is going to sound kind of counterintuitive, but like, stay with me, right? The fact that we scored kind of early, I think, made us even more complacent, right? Because Brooklyn wasn't getting anything going. After we scored, Brooklyn wasn't getting anything going. So once we're up 1-0, we're like, yeah, we'll just ride it out, you know? And we were able to do that really successfully, really comfortably. It was fine, right? I think we were able to, in some sense, just ride most of the game out with a 1-goal lead. And eventually we found the second goal. And it's not that we weren't pushing for it, because we had possession. We had more possession than Brooklyn. It's not like Brooklyn actually had like a few minutes where they were on the ball in the first half and kind of in the Rowdies' half for 5-ish minutes. And then that disappeared. Didn't happen again for the rest of the game. So we were comfortable. We were on the ball. And eventually we broke through and got goal number two. I think that's why in a game like this, your subs are going to be pretty important, right? Just bring on some energy, go for that second goal. Guys who aren't playing as much maybe and really like want to go get, you know, their stats up while they can, especially against a team that's not that great. I think that you look at Dolabella and Conway are a perfect example of two really, really, really good players that are probably itching to get their numbers up, right? Like they know that they should have that they could have more goals, more assists than they do, because they know they're really, really talented players, and we all know that. But they're maybe just not getting on the field as much as they want to, right? So I think that's kind of why you look at a game like this, where you're comfortable, complacent, up 1-0. You're really riding to a comfortable 3 points, but just want a little bit more something, you know, for padding. That's it. Dolabella and Conway, I think, are very good examples of why those subs are important. Energy guys who really are going to go out there and fight and go get a goal. And it was a lovely goal, by the way. We should mention that again. I loved it. It was fun. Just a little dink, lofted ball. Evan Conway by himself heads it away to get his, how many goals does he have now? Third goal of the league play. Of course, you'll remember that really fun goal against Sporting Jack that saved us from being one of the few teams that didn't beat them.
That's right.
Earlier on in the year.
No, that was some Tampa time.
Yeah, that was awesome. And that was maybe a better example of kind of playing down to a team than I think this game was. But yeah, James, I think that's the Brooklyn game. I don't really know if there's anything else to say about this one other than glad we got out of there with 3 points pretty comfortably. I'm glad we're scoring a couple goals. I'm hoping it's the strikers that kind of lead the charge again soon. And that we get the guys. Even if we were up by like 15 points in the Eastern Conference, 8 points versus New Mexico out west, even if we were like really, really comfortable, even if you're really comfortable, James, at this point in the year, American sports is about playoffs, right? We know that. Nobody really cares about, you know, the 2021 Rowdies finishing in first place in the league because
right.
they lost.
That's,
in the final,
that's exactly right.
Right. No one really cares about Louisville finishing at first and then losing in the first round. Was that last year or the year before? I can't remember. You want your guys that are going to be your difference makers to be kind of hot at the right time. I think that's why playoffs are so challenging, because so many teams that kind of barely scrape in there or middle of the playoff pack, they get hot at the right time. They need to win games, so they go out there with even more intensity. They get the goals. The guys are firing all cylinders to squeak into the playoffs right at the end and get hot at the right time. That's the challenge that the Rowdies have to navigate here over the last 7 games. I think maybe part of the reason I'm glad that New Mexico exists and is kind of on our tail, it gives us some intensity, some reason to go out there and fight and go get the guys fired up and tell them to go get 3 points, right? Because you want that intensity going into the playoffs. You want MD Meyer scoring your goals. You want Russell Cicerone, you know, getting involved, making some assists happen. But the defense is doing their part. I think the back line is about as in perfect form as you can be at this point in the year. 7 games left, keep going, keep riding the shutout streak, and we'll see what we can do getting into playoff time. And by the way, I think it should go without saying how impressive it is that the back line is doing this with like the makeshiftness of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The rotation that's happened in Dos Santos's pairing is fascinating. The rotation of Akoff and Antley getting swapped in there, fascinating. And it's worked. So good for everybody involved. Really, really good stuff. Anything else to talk about here with Brooklyn, or should we jump into player of the match?
I'm ready for player of the match.
Okay. I'm going first, James. I'm going to let myself open up here and go with an easy one for me. Luis Perez. I feel like he's overdue. He's had like an incredible season, and I just haven't given him his flowers as much as I should in the man of the match portion of these recaps. Great, great player. Was super involved again. Like you said, his positioning on the field is just so helpful for the type of game we want to play. And he's such a dynamic player out wide. Really loves to rip a laser of a shot. He's had a few of those this year, and this one was no different than the ones he's had in the past. Awesome goal from him. Awesome game. Another one to stack on for Luis Perez's impressive season.
My man of the match for this one is Charlie Ostrom. He has one assist in this game. By the way, he is leading our team with assists, I believe 8 overall. 3 defensive contributions, according to FotMob, and 2 chances created. But in addition to those little stats that, you know, we can all read out, this is probably another one, actually, now that you mentioned that, Carlos. This is another player that is, like, overdue for a Man of the Match award anyway. Like, there are other players who step up in different moments and they offer this or that or what have you. I've been frequently going with the double-digit defensive contributions thing, and Charlie Ostrom does frequently contribute defensively, but he doesn't hit double digits because he's not always the center back, or sometimes even the defensive midfielder, right? They'll get those. It's more frequently in those positions where you're going to get a blocked shot, for instance, which is going to count in that way. So Charlie gets a couple of those, but he's not going to hit as many, and he's going to do even more offering attacking play too. So he probably is due one here. And I think that his play in this game was one of the better ones on the field, certainly, but then those stats just reinforce it all, really.
Yeah. For sure. Agreed. He's been a beast and very much deserves more credit than he gets at that left side of the field. Incredible stuff from him. 5-second plug before we jump into the Hartford review. for the RBLR Sports Shop. If you need some new threads, check it out. Shop.rblrsports.com. Promo code COYR for 10% off everything over there. It's not just Rowdy stuff. It's Rays, Bucks, Lightning, Sun, I think, as well, included. USF, maybe? I don't know. Eureka, I haven't checked it in a couple of weeks. Let me know. Great stuff over there. Go check it out. Shop.rblrsports.com. Promo code COYR for 10% off your purchase. Great stuff over there. Get some merch before the next Rowdy's home game. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. This Saturday, James, we're away to Hartford Athletic. It's one of very few stadiums where we've actually had significantly more wins than we've had losses. James, I'm going to quiz you here. This is my pop quiz for you that I like to give you. In 7 games we've played away to Hartford, how many wins do we have in Hartford, Connecticut?
I am going to say, because I am remembering, obviously, the one that we talk about all the time, the sick game for Hartford. But no,
That one wasn't St. Pete.
Oh, that one was in St. Pete. Okay, so
yeah,
we'll take that out of this equation. But yeah. I am remembering as well a recent performance. Probably it was probably last year, because obviously last year was so bad anyway. I think that we lost that one. So I'm gonna say out of 7 we have 5 wins away to Hartford.
Close. 6 wins away to Hartford.
Damn.
Last year was one of those wins. In fact, it was only the first time we played away to Hartford Athletic in 2019, where the Tampa Bay Rowdies lost 2-1, with the only goal of the game for the Rowdies coming from Lucky M. Kosana.
Wow.
Okay. Losing the game in stoppage time. Unfortunate, because in the 68th minute, we got a red card. None other than Malik Johnson at the right back spot, who got that for the Rowdies, made us play the last 30 minutes down a player. There's your Rowdies Hartford trivia for the week. Since then, October 2019, the Rowdies have played 6 games away to Hartford and won all 6.
The last 3 by a 1-0 scoreline, I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I wonder if that will play into anybody's predictions here.
Fascinating stuff. It's not like they're, you know, blowouts or anything. Like you said, they've all been close games. In fact, only one of the wins was by a 2-goal margin in 2023. Goals by actually 2 own goals. That's crazy. Factor that into your prediction, especially considering the fact that Hartford is a really, really good defensive side, which we'll talk about in a second here. But that's your recent history. There's not many stadiums in the USL where the Rowdies are so dominant's not the right word, but like they win significantly more often than they lose in Hartford. 6 wins to 1 loss. I hope that's still the case this weekend. We'll see. This is a very good Hartford side. In the past, Hartford has certainly struggled. There's been bad Hartford teams we've beaten in there. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But we will see how this plays out, because Hartford's in really good form right now. Saturday, 7 p.m., we're playing them on local TV, ESPN Plus. Is this a national TV game, James?
I believe this is on ESPN Plus, which is now ESPN Plus. Select, which is now extremely expensive. But anyway,
whatever that means.
Outside of that,
ESPN, whatever the hell that subscription is called. Not national TV game. I thought so. Hartford are in good form. They actually haven't lost in 6 games up until last weekend. They had won 4 in a row. They drew away to Detroit City, 1-1. Again, tough place to play. We know how difficult it is to go out there and get any sort of result. And they also beat the Charleston Battery in South Carolina recently. So this is a team that's getting good results right now. They're in really good form. They're not the team that's going to, you know, blow you out. And if you remembered from 30 seconds ago about the history of the Rowdies in Hartford, playing in Hartford, it's not a game that's going to go, you know, incredibly skewed one way or the other. Hartford has only conceded 22 goals this year in 22 games. That's only 2 more than Tampa Bay Rowdies, who we would consider a very good defensive side, I would say, James. And they're playing at home, where they're always going to be more comfortable than not. But here's the kicker for them. The reason why they're in 6th place is that they don't score a lot. They struggle. They average slightly less than one goal a game. They've scored 21 goals in 22 games. I will say that a number of those goals have come in the last few weeks, few months, and they started off a little slower. They found some rhythm, and the goals are definitely, I think, starting to come a bit more freely for them. So we'll have to be careful. They got that one goal in Detroit, which is always really hard. Two goals away to Charleston, three goals at home against Birmingham, two goals at home against Miami. They're finding some rhythm offensively. And if they can figure that out while keeping that really good defense, they're a team that can beat anyone in the Eastern Conference, especially at home. So big game for us. They're not in a position to have a home game right now. They're going to want to, get up the table. They have one game in hand over Louisville, who's 2 points ahead of them, and they actually have two games in hand over Pittsburgh, who has that last home playoff game spot. And they're 4 points behind them with two games in hand. So Hartford has plenty of reason to play right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to go really, really hard. They know it's a great opportunity to make a statement. Everybody knows that at this point when they're playing against the Rowdies, especially considering the fact that these are really important points for them as well. Big, big matchup. James, do you want to take us through a few of the names we should keep an eye out for in Hartford?
I can do that. So we are likely to see in net Anthony Siaha behind Adrian Dispe, Jordan Scarlett. And I went with Arturo Ordóñez. He did not start the last two games, but I am expecting that he will. Britton Fisher is the player who actually started the last two games alongside the aforementioned Dispe and Scarlett. I still think Arturo Ordóñez is just more likely. Either way, I think we're doing pretty well in terms of getting most of the starting 11s. So keep that in mind. Seb Anderson is almost certainly going to be the right wing back alongside Beverly Macanguila, Junior Moreira, and EJ Samadia. EJ Samadia is a very good player. He is, I believe, Liberian, Sierra Leonean, but he is an international player. So just keep that in mind. And those four as a midfield unit have been starting several of the last couple of games. There's no reason to think that they won't again. They should have Barry Coffey as the attacking midfielder, so to speak, behind Mache Angelina and Augie Williams up top. You might see Angelina and Williams pushing out a little bit more wide and Coffey stepping up almost as like a three up top. Not quite that way, but five at the back almost certainly, then have somebody in front of them. And the wing backs are going to get forward and they are going to do a lot of cutting back. They're going to do a lot of looking for Barry Coffey. Yeah. Barry Coffey has six goals while Augie Williams has three. Anderson, one of those wingbacks, the right wingback, has five assists. He also leads the team in chances. So just keep in mind when you look at Hartford, you can just see their stats. It kind of, comes out pretty easily there. But if you watch a lot of their goals too, it's going to show up there. Anderson and Samadia, the two wide players, are going to have a lot of say in their attacking plays, and they're going to try to find Barry Coffey as the guy who is coming into the box later on, either as a cross or maybe a cutback to the top of the box. So just keep that play, that pattern in the back of your head and see how well Hartford does at recreating that here. The Rowdies might try to stifle that by playing their own wingbacks. We obviously don't know exactly what the team is planning to do, but we have the players to play with wingbacks now. Connor Antley is here. He has started in a wingback position. Lawrence Wyke has helped out with that too. So yeah, lots of options for us to try and shut them down. And I think based on their recent scoring, they are doing better. But on the other side of things, of course, we have had, what did I say? They've scored our opposition one goal in six games. So this is kind of a good attack versus good defense and seeing exactly how they match up here. Either way, it will be a tough game. The pitch in the stadium, it's not a weird stadium necessarily, but it's definitely a poorer pitch than what the Rowdies are used to playing on. And I think that could offer us a little bit of a headache, let's say.
Yeah. It'll be really, really interesting matchup. Struggle to score goals, Hartford, but like you said, maybe finding some rhythm right now, especially at home. The good news is if their kind of game plan and most dangerous approach is obvious enough for James and I to pick it up here on the podcast, the guys that get paid to do that for the Tampa Bay Rowdies are probably picking that up too.
Yeah.
Exactly. The game plan is probably pretty clear. We certainly have players, like you said, to match up against most attacking schemes in this league. So I'm not concerned about, you know, quality that we have. I think it's just a matter of setting up the right approach and going into a tough place to play and figuring it out. So it'll be a tight game.
Their wingbacks might be so preoccupied with defensive work that they don't even get to attack. Who knows?
Exactly. That's the idea. That's the goal, right? Hopefully that's the case. I think it'll be a pretty sluggish game, though, by nature of what Hartford is playing. Well, how Hartford is playing and how the Rowdies have been playing and kind of the really good back lines for both teams here. James, I think we should jump into predictions here.
Go for it.
I'm going to lead us off with a 1-1 draw. Yeah, I think it's what I'm going to go with. And I wouldn't be, you know, too upset with that. Our away games that we have remaining are tough, you know, tough places to go. If we grab a win, it's going to be by a 1-goal margin as well. I think it'll be sluggish either way. But Hartford's just finding a little bit of a rhythm in the attack, and I could see them getting on the score sheet at home. So they're going to come out intense. They're going to come out firing on all cylinders. I could tell, like, you know, it's a big game for them because they're playing a really good team, because they're playing at home, because they need the points. I think despite their defensive capacities, you'll see them coming out and attacking quite a bit in this one. 1-1 draw is what I'm going to go with, but obviously hoping for a win and can certainly see a win. I think win and draw is very, very possible. I don't see us losing this game is what I'm going to go with.
I think that's fair. I am going with a 1-0 win, and that is based on Carlos leading me to the head-to-head matchups here. We have beat them 1-0 in the last three away games against Hartford. That doesn't mean that it's obviously on the cards, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. I'm feeling good with that. And, hey, maybe it's a Jurgen Locadia goal. Maybe it's MD Myers. Maybe it's Jamali Waite. Who knows? Probably not the last one, but I would love that. Eureka has joined Carlos with a 1-1 draw. Parker, our writer, has gone with a 2-1 win. And Connor, our writer, has gone with a 0-0 draw. So that is our prediction lineup for this game. Yeah. And we will see, obviously, who is right. No, I think L's. With that, Carlos, go ahead.
No, I said no L's. Draws are slightly overtaking the wins in this one, which I think is fair, but I don't think that should be an indication that we're pessimistic at all about this game. I think it's just Hartford's really good defensively. I think we're still just kind of waiting for the attacks to kind of light it up again. I could see it, but you know, obviously hoping for a win, and I could more than see a win coming. I just don't see it being like a 2 or 3-0 win. It should probably be a 1-0 win based on how well Hartford's been defensively, or how good they've been defensively. Grammar. Okay, we already did our extra time segment on Jurgen Locadia. Big news. It's going to be fascinating. We'll see how that plays out. So I think we could go ahead and just wrap this one up, James. I got to go to class in 10 minutes.
All right.
I got contracts on the third floor. I think we're in prime position to make it in time. Thanks for joining us. This has been another great episode of the RBLR Rowdies podcast. Follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you get your social media. Doom scrolling, we are there. Follow me at CarlosTPA10 and follow James
at RBLR James K.
There you go. Thanks for joining us again. Like and subscribe to us if you're listening to this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts when it drops, whatever it is you can do on those apps, I would do it. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, add to your podcast, whatever it is you can actually click on it. James, thanks for joining us once again. This has been another fun episode. I love talking Rowdies, and this is so fun, and we're in first place, and it's just great. I don't think we should take it for granted. I've been saying this because there's a lot of teams, James, that are struggling in this league on and off the field, right? And it's been a while since the Rowdies have been in that position off the field, right, at least. And I think that's something you can't take for granted in lower league soccer. Get out to the Outlink Stadium in 2 weeks. If you can go to Hartford. Why not? Make an away trip, make a weekend out of it. I don't know how much there is to see in Hartford, but you can go to New York, I guess.
Yeah, right? Probably not as much in Connecticut specifically.
hop on the train, go to New York in like 30, 40 minutes or whatever. Get out there. get the full experience. See us, our faces on YouTube. Come check us out. This is fun. I like talking to people live. So thanks to anybody who's joining us today live. James, for one more week of Tampa Bay Rowdies soccer, let's go to Hartford and get a win. Come on, you Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.